the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
Back in the USA.
Look at this guy. He's in studio. Oh, man. I'm so stoked on this.
Still somewhat jet lagged.
I when we were trying to decide when to do this, I was like, I don't know what time is good for you. What time is your I'm awake time?
It has not settled in. I'm sort of on regular time, but I feel like... Today I had an improv show. Felt pretty good going into the show, and at the end of the show, Eric was there, and I was like, "Man, I feel weird." A lot of like zonked out feeling.
Yeah, that zonked feeling is basically the entire weekend that I had when I was in Vegas for Summer League.
When did you get back, by the way?
I got back Sunday morning.
Okay. So you were there for 1 weekend this
year? I was there for 1 weekend this year. Last year I went for 10 days. As we know, I was exiled to the desert for 10 days. This year I decided
like
to
Jesus.
Come home. Like, yes, much like Jesus, I was exiled to the desert.
Much like Jesus, you were checking out pick and roll plays.
I think isn't it Moses who was exiled to the desert?
Aren't they all in the desert?
No, Jesus was never exiled to the desert.
Oh, but Jesus sits in a desert and a bush catches on fire.
No, see, that's also Moses.
Burning bush is Moses?
Burning bush is Moses.
Wait, but in the movie Last Temptation, like a snake blew up and talked to him or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's Moses.
I don't know. I've never been to church one day in my life.
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, Moses is pretty important. Jesus also pretty important. But yeah, you're thinking Moses.
Moses is important to both Christians and Jews.
That is correct.
Jesus, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, this Jesus. The Jews still believe that there is a Jesus coming soon.
Much like in the Game of Thrones books, there is an Aegon Targaryen running around. And some people think he is the real Aegon Targaryen. In the books, Jon Snow is still he's still dead.
He's still dead. I mean, you don't come back from what happened to him in the books, I guess. I don't know. I've never read that either. Yeah. I've never read a single Game of Thrones book in my life. That's my church that
so
I
haven't
gone
to.
So
we've both missed out on some holy tomes. So, okay, it's July 9th, and it seems like the whole offseason's over.
Yeah, there's really only one big... thing left to fall, and that is, where is Taco Fall gonna sign?
Oh, is he?
He's on the summer league squad for the Celtics, but he is not signed to their team.
What?
Yeah,
was he a? Oh wait, is he the one that fell completely out of the draft?
Well, he did fall completely out of the draft, but he is not just the one. He's just the tallest guy.
But I mean, he's one that some people thought might go like second roundish.
He may. Yeah, he was definitely a draftable character.
Bol Bol also dropped.
Bol Bol also dropped. That was a huge deal. And, you know, while you were in Australia, I don't know if you got
I heard you guys saying he shouldn't have been in the... Ooh. You were also advocating for a smaller green room.
But also just...
And also just a shorter green room to prevent people like Bol Bol and Taco Fall from...
Yes, exactly.
Then they could be like, you can't even get in here.
You can't get in here. The NBA is trending smaller, so we got to get the smaller players in.
Yeah. Yeah, because I saw him playing some good defense in a summer league highlight.
Yeah, and playing good offense. I mean, the dude's very tall. All he needs to do is hold his hand up and the ball goes in.
The other question is, where is Marcus Morris going to go?
Where is Marcus Morris going to go? Oh my gosh, who knows?
This is a fun little last storyline for the summer.
Yeah, I mean, he's apparently going to rethink about signing with the Spurs.
He signed a deal with the Spurs.
He had not signed it. He verbally agreed to do it. And now there's a chance that he might be able to get more money from the Knicks because they had a Reggie Bullock maybe injured in some way that is bad that we don't know anything about. So they are re-talking about what to do with Reggie Bullock for the Knicks. That means they may have more space. And that three power forward lineup, not enough power forwards. Time to get Marcus Morris in the mix. he might also be in that four power forwards lineup. I think a team is balanced as long as you have one point guard, two shooting guards, three small forwards, four power forwards, and five centers. It's the number system for basketball.
Yeah, and 12 hummingbirds and 12 lords.
Yes, exactly.
How are you feeling about the offseason?
It is just blown me the fuck away.
Yeah.
Because before our last podcast that we did, we still were waiting on one man to make a decision. And that man was Kawhi Leonard.
And we could have done another podcast even like last Thursday and still been waiting.
You've still been waiting.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I mean, I threw up my unsigned free agent Danny Green podcast to the net on Friday and headed out to NBA Summer League. Drove there in the morning, had a great time. This year, first year in the history of Summer League, Summer League sold out.
Woo!
So day one and day two, there were no tickets available. And
so wait, were you not able to go?
We had to pay more money. There were secondhand tickets available.
Oh, Lord.
There's always tickets available.
Right.
But we had to pay $70 a ticket to get into the one day of Summer League. When I started going to Summer League 5 years ago, it was $25 to get in for a day. Mm-hmm. And you could just sit basically courtside because there wasn't like a second tier of seating.
Now. $70 for
one day.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. We were not happy. But also, we had to go because if we didn't go, then why the fuck were we in Vegas?
Yeah.
Right?
To gamble and watch magic shows.
I mean, we definitely did very little of either of those things.
So I look forward to not talking about Kawhi Leonard anymore. I also texted you, though. This is the worst possible timeline for Casey Lawrence. And do you know why I said that?
Because Clippers tickets are going up.
Exactly.
For one. The Clippers are good, which is not good for my Lakers fandom.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm talking to somebody who owns a Los Angeles Clippers, Los Angeles Times sweatshirt.
Yeah, I guess theoretically. But finally, I like them less after this summer.
That's so funny.
And also, it is funny. Remember that we went to the Lakers Clippers games and the woman was like, well, if the so-called big free agent comes to us, and we both were just like, yeah, right. Yeah, Kawhi Leonard's going to come to the Clippers.
Yeah, no. No.
No, something about the way Kawhi conducted himself in this, I dislike, and so it's causing me to dislike the Clippers as well.
That's so interesting. I don't hate the way that he did this.
Right? Yeah.
He knew exactly what he wanted as a free agent,
yeah,
and he worked to get that, and he got it, and that's wild to me that he got it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're talking about one half of this, which is that Kawhi agreed to sign with the Clippers, which is insane. But the second half of this is that the Clippers traded for Paul fucking George.
Yeah.
And they traded just a bevy of draft picks.
Yeah. It's interesting because a month ago, people were saying, oh my God, look at the crazy crap that the Lakers traded for Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
And I believe the Clippers haul is more than that.
Yes.
It's more picks.
More picks.
Now,
and I guess, you know, you have to weigh the relative skill and value of what's-his-face, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander
right.
and Danilo Gallinari versus the young core of...
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari is, you know what he is.
He's good. He'll make a team good.
SGA, I think, is pretty good.
Yeah.
However...
Versus Lonzo, Ingram, and Hart, which is the big get from LA.
That's a big question. The other question is... Or the other way to think about it is they didn't really just trade for Paul George. They traded those for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard.
Correct.
Yes. Essentially.
Yeah.
So, of course, that's not a bad deal. I thought it was a good deal for them and all that. I just... Now, the flip side of it is, in terms of narratives, it's probably the best and funniest move because it makes the most teams unhappy.
Everybody is unhappy and it makes everything so weird, which is so good for us.
Like, I think I said that it was a perfect situation for him to just stay in Toronto.
Yeah.
Because and I also thought it was a perfect situation for Durant to just stay in Golden State.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. It's just strange to me. And it's interesting how the Raptors fans, I think, who are very disheartened now, really felt like they had a significant shot at keeping him. And... Now there's a lot of lamenting in Raptors land about like, when will anyone ever want to stay here?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a bittersweet, you know, I'm sure they're happy they got their ring, but
yes,
but it's amazing. Like they got their ring and they're immediately just like fortunes have reversed.
Yeah. Do they make the playoffs next year?
Yeah, they probably will. Siakam will blossom.
But I mean, are they in the top half of the league in the East? I mean, I don't think they're better than Philly. I don't think they're better than Milwaukee. I don't think they're better than
Boston.
Boston. I don't think they're, you know, are they on par with, you know, Orlando?
You would hope so.
Yeah.
Wait, did they get any compensation from him? He just walked.
He walked.
Oof, that's rough. Walked.
W-A-L-K-E-D.
So yeah, and also that's a fascinating discussion about like, was it worth the gamble? Because they had him for a year. They got the ring. Like
they got the
ring. Gotta think it's worth it.
All they gave up for him was DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
And DeMar DeRozan doesn't help a team get better.
Yeah.
Just helps a team maintain. So it's tough. I think you make that trade every single time.
Yes, but it's still, so it's funny. They got the ring, but they still lose him for nothing.
Yeah.
And now they are, so like they got the ring. This year, they'll probably be worse than if they had kept DeMar DeRozan.
Yes. Arguably. But how much worse?
Yeah.
Right? So I think that one year spike makes it worth it. Yeah, they did lose Danny Green.
So did you guys talk about Durant?
Talk a little bit about Durant.
Durant, I think, is...
I want to hear your take. I want to hear what you think about
it. Well, again, I thought he should have just stayed. Because to me, it's like, you're not playing next year anyway.
No.
Just didn't he have the option to just opt in for 1 year?
He did.
It was a very strange thing. It's so weird to think about these transactions when he's not going to play for a year. And Klay Thompson is probably... the earliest he might maybe makes it back for the playoffs or something like that.
Yeah, all-star break kind of thing.
That dynasty is like over because Iguodala went to Memphis and they just let go of Sean Livingston today. Yeah. Like
today the news came out that Sean Marks said he didn't even talk to Kevin Durant before he said he was going to Brooklyn.
Yes.
Which to me is an absolute inversion and just so wild. Like how dare he presume that the Nets are going to want to sign him with this Achilles injury. But he's right.
Yeah.
Right? He wasn't even wrong about it.
I think a great takeaway from this offseason leading into all these decisions is that the same point I've been making ever since we started this podcast is that we know as much as the pundits that are paid full-time, the amount of complete bullshit speculation about these decisions. Literally, like, so wrong.
Yeah.
All this Shannon Sharp, like, you know, he's definitely going to the Lakers.
There's Chris Carter.
RD,
Kendrick Perkins.
RD Ambition _. Do you know him?
Was that the kid?
He's the nephew from the Reddit, Lakers Reddit.
Oh.
He was listed for a while as, like, making, like, correct calls on transactions and then started a Twitter. The mods like verified him as being like a trusted source.
Wow.
Somebody doxed him, I think, and it turned out he was like Jeannie's nephew or something like that.
No way.
And then like he was just completely wrong on the Kawhi thing.
Well, yeah, I mean everybody was wrong on the Kawhi thing.
Yeah, literally everybody except Jason Whitlock.
Yeah.
Have you seen that clip where Jason Whitlock like called it?
No. I mean, I try to avoid Jason Whitlock.
I do too, but he gained a lot of credibility because I watched this clip from like a week or so ago where they're doing a round table going like, do you think he's going to the Lakers, the Raptors, or the Clippers? And everyone's like Lakers or Raptors. And Jason Whitlock holds up a thing with Clippers. He's like, let me tell you why. I feel like there's probably going to be another deal that happens that there's going to be some other star that has to go to the Clippers so that he like calls it exactly.
Ooh.
And it's like, well, you know what, Jason Whitlock? You were right on with this
you
one.
You did it.
And I, you know, but for the most part, everybody was so wrong.
Yeah.
Every single person was so wrong. Like, and I love by the way, including people like Woj and Shams and Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons.
I mean,
and like,
I don't think that Woj said where he was going to go.
He
was like yes. He's met with these people. This is what's happening. We don't know. Nobody who I respect was like, oh, we know exactly where he's going. I don't think anybody said that.
No, but
I respect. There were people that said that, but they're all people who were like, why the fuck is Chris Carter giving me this?
Well, one thing is that everyone on TV has to have hotter takes than the podcast people, right?
That is true.
But everybody in the, let's say, the world of like the Woj, Zach Lowe, Ryan Russillo, that I believe they sort of hold themselves up a little bit as being like, we're a little more thoughtful about how we approach these things. Now, Woj is mostly a reportage kind of guy.
Yes.
But Woj on his podcast does put
forth. He talks a lot about it.
He puts forth a lot of like, you know, that trade was never going to happen. He lets on like that he's got some insider info.
Oh, so he knows, but he doesn't say it.
Sometimes he'll retroactively say like, well, everybody knew that this was, right?
So just like who was the guy who was like, yeah, all the players knew mid-season that Kawhi and Kyrie were going to go to Brooklyn. That KD and Kyrie were going. There was some player who said that.
Yeah. You know,
so Woj talks about these things like he knows what happened, but he just doesn't say it.
Yes, and sometimes he will imply that he had a source on something and then didn't reveal it. Or something. I mean, Woj is a little bit bullshitty too. But Woj, first of all, has a huge blind spot with LeBron because. The theory is that he has no access to LeBron at all.
Yeah.
So he tends to sort of like publish whatever he wants about LeBron.
Yes.
And a lot of his things about LeBron end up being inaccurate.
Interesting.
But anyway, in this sort of sphere of the podcast blogosphere, they still talk with authority sometimes about like, by the way, none of them predicted that he was going to the Clippers.
No. Well. And I don't think anyone said Paul George to the Clippers.
No.
Not a single
person. No one said anything about like, you know, for Kawhi to say like, go there and ask them to trade you to the Clippers. He wouldn't have said that if he was like, nah, I love it here. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
Like the way he was a year ago when he was like, I'm staying here. Right.
Yeah.
So no one even had any reporting on that being a thread that you could pull.
Yeah.
Of someone being dissatisfied with being there.
I mean, that's so, it's so interesting. And I was driving home from Vegas this weekend, and I was at the intersection of the Palmdale Freeway and the Riverside Freeway. Uh-huh. I think it was the 15 and the 138, and I was just like, this is where they figured it out, right in between their two hometowns.
What are their two hometowns?
Riverside and Palmdale.
There you go.
Right? So that intersection on the way back from Vegas has got to have some sort of magical connection between them. And you heard it here first on this podcast, folks. That intersection, that freeway interchange, a lot of traffic this weekend. A lot of bodies on the freeway. All I'm saying is this, people knew.
I do think that the Clippers, you know, obviously have to make some noise. They have to basically get to the finals for anyone. They have to win like 3 rings for anyone in LA to really care about them.
I think if they win one ring, people will care
a little. They will, but they would still care more if the Lakers won a ring.
Yes.
Yeah. I will just say that it's not a guarantee, these two dudes, because by the way, both of these dudes have missed significant time with injuries.
Yes. Both could be, I mean, at the end of last season, both of them very beat up.
Yeah. And by the way, is Paul George getting... Did he get surgery? Is he getting surgery?
I don't know his surgery status.
Wasn't there an issue with his shoulder or something?
Yeah, okay. That's what I was referring to when I was talking about him being beat up.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's getting surgery on it. That being said, if he gets surgery on it, that's to help him. You know, he wouldn't get surgery, so it would be worse.
No, some people are so good that they get surgery to like hold them back.
That's a good point. That's what happened with like Greg Oden, right? Is he got a bunch of surgeries.
That's so when Shaq was like, I'll do it on company time. It was a surgery to make him more gravity bound.
Yeah.
The summer's been great for all of these like grievances and storylines, and the fact that it is sort of evening out the league. Another thing, by the way, that many, many people were wrong about. I mean, it drives me crazy to read the Lakers subreddit.
I mean, I don't like to go on Reddit. I go on Reddit for...
I like Reddit for some things a lot.
Oof. I mean, I just can't... I can't stand it. I go on Reddit for one thing only, and it's get news about a mobile card game I play. And that's it.
Uh-huh.
So just like the fact that you can go into NBA, like our NBA, and have a good time is just like... I feel...
Our Lakers is rough.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Because you go through the part of like... Magic's incompetent.
Yeah.
Fire Magic. We fired Magic. Now fired Genie. Now fired Kurt Rambis and his wife. Rob Pelinka is incompetent. Rob Pelinka doesn't understand the salary cap.
Yeah.
And later they're like, they have a salary cap capologist on the record who like worked with the Spurs and we're like,
great.
And then it's like, Rob Pelinka fucked up this trade. Rob Pelinka fucked up. Anthony Davis is not going to waive his trade kicker. He waives his trade kicker.
Yeah.
Rob Pelinka, like, if they, first of all, okay. Rob Pelinka's fucking up because they're waiting for Kawhi and they're missing out on all these great free agents. You had to wait for Kawhi. Like, you have to wait for the number one guy first and then make your decisions.
I mean,
like,
unless you decide you don't want a shot that, at that number one guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's certainly possible. And you could argue that maybe he should have realized sooner or later, sooner, that the writing wasn't on the wall. But if it's genuinely kind of up in the air, you, Kawhi is a good enough player that you will wait.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to lock down J.J. Redick on day one. Like, yeah, that's not,
that's fair. You know. And if you lock down J.J. Redick, Silver Lake preschools are going to be a nightmare.
Why?
Did you read that article in the New Yorker today about how J.J. Redick's wife got on the board of a nursery school in Brooklyn and all hell broke loose?
Because
she got too buddy-buddy with the director of the nursery school, and people were upset that they were now catering towards actors and celebrities instead of Wall Street people. This article is insane. Everybody go read it. It was so funny to read just about, you know, the fact that J.J. Redick's wife is making everybody in Brooklyn very mad.
So what was I saying? Now I can't remember. Oh, about
RNBA.
Oh, another thing that people were wrong about, that the RNBA was wrong about, and this I would include the Bill Simmons, Zach Lowe world as well.
Got it.
The idea that if they miss on Kawhi, the Lakers are not going to be able to put any kind of roster together.
I will say,
yeah,
I am very impressed with what they did after everybody else was gone.
Yeah.
Right? I think that that Lakers team is a team that's better built than last year's team.
Yes.
And has some serious upside on certain players as well.
I think for knowing that you were going to gamble on Kawhi and that you might possibly miss out on all the dudes that signed in the first 12 hours, which was crazy. Like, they were all off the board.
Yes.
That the team they ended up with is pretty good. Now, like, I have flashbacks to, like, the Karl Malone Lakers years of, like, here's a bunch of names, you know.
Yeah.
Of, like, you know the names of almost everyone on the Lakers roster this year.
Yes.
And probably all of them are, like, past their prime.
Yeah. You know, I think maybe the only guy who might not be past his prime who they signed is, like, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, you know, because, like, he's never had a prime. And,
yes,
you know, he's striking on prime day.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to me is the, like, all right, Rich Paul, we'll sign this one. You know, you got us AD. We'll sign Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
To be totally fair to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he's the worst and I hate him and he should never play basketball again. I'm just trying to be fair. I just want to be fair.
So I don't have super high expectations of the Lakers. Like, I think they could compete to get into the finals, but they could also just be pretty mediocre. But I don't know.
I don't see them being mediocre. I see them being very good. I think that the Davis James combo is good enough to make noise in every single game they play in.
I'll put it this way. I think they have enough tools in the toolbox for Frank Vogel to, like, try to make a run.
Yeah. I mean,
however, you know, I think that they also have a lot of pieces that, like, might just suck.
So, like, I know you're low on Kuz.
I'm medium on Kuz.
So do you think Kuz could take that step this year?
He could.
that is not the...
He could. But I don't... I'm very skeptical that he can make a progress on defense.
Yeah. Even with Vogel? Even with him maybe, working maybe out like with a Deshaun Jackson?
Team concept.
Do you see him today? He worked out with Deshaun Jackson.
Who's Deshaun Jackson? The Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver?
Yes. Yeah. You got it. And normally I would be like, well, you're wrong because he doesn't play for the Eagles anymore. But he re-signed with the Eagles this year.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
And he was very good at one point?
He was very good. And he might not be good anymore, but we'll just have to find out.
Can you run me through the current Lakers roster?
Yeah. Okay. So starting at the top, we got LeBron.
By the way, I Google for this. The first thing I see is Los Angeles Lakers. Three players Rob Pelinka should not have signed.
Great. Congrats, man. We know that one of them is Boogie because they said it. In that article, does it say one of them is Boogie?
It does. Why is Boogie one of the three?
Because this article is like, he's not going to be any good. It's like, well, of course not. He's getting paid $4 million. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right? You take a flyer dog.
Who do you think is number two?
Number two is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
He's number one.
Yeah, okay.
Number
two is Rajon Rondo.
Yep.
Great. So those three. Yeah, the worst.
But how much money are those three guys making?
So Rondo's the vet min. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is like $14 billion. I don't know why they still
He's 8.9.
Yeah, I think it's about like eight.
And DeMarcus Cousins is like four?
Four, yeah.
You got to think of it. These guys are value propositions. And also, by the way, these are the guys, these are the contracts that made it possible for them to have Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
So, and yes, it would be nice if instead of, let's say, Cousins, Jared Dudley, Rondo, and Pope, and three other people, if we had Kawhi. But, like, that didn't happen. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you get Kawhi, I don't know if that prevents any of those players from actually being on the team.
Because they might just go for minimums.
Well, you could give DeMarcus Cousins the room exception.
Uh-huh.
And then you could go...
What is the room exception?
All right.
Is this related to the movie Room?
Ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba, Jacob Tremblay made an exception. No. So there are three types of...
Mid-level
exceptions now. There is a room mid-level exception.
Uh-huh.
There's B. There is a mid-level exception in... like when you're over cap space, and then there's a luxury tax mid-level exception. So the room mid-level exception means that if you at any point in the offseason had cap space, uh-huh, you can only use the room mid-level exception once you go up to the cap.
Okay.
If you
is in the less offseason, than the MLE?
Yes. Okay. It's like 4.9. It's like about half the MLE.
Huh.
If you do not have cap space, you can use the regular mid-level exception.
So if you were already over the cap and that's not changing,
yes,
you get an extra 8.9 or whatever.
You get an extra like $5 million
to use
for 1 year.
Yeah. Okay.
And you can make that a multi-year contract. Then if you're a tax-paying team, but if you use that full mid-level exception, it restricts you to a hard cap below the luxury tax.
Okay.
If you are above the salary cap and you use the luxury taxpayer mid-level exception, you can use it. And that's something like about that $4 million as well.
Hmm.
So there are different levels of mid-level exception now, which they broke off once they redid the CBA the last time.
What's the minimum players a team has to have?
13.
So I'm looking at a list of 13, but then there's a 14th that's not on this list. How many of these current Lakers roster can you name? You started before I interrupted you.
All right. Okay. So we got Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
Yeah.
We got Kyle Kuzma.
Yep.
Okay. Then going down the line, we got JaVale McGee.
Oh, he's not on this. Oh, he is on this list. Sorry. Yes.
We got DeMarcus Cousins.
Uh-huh.
We got Jared Dudley.
Yep. Everyone's social media favorite.
We got Quinn Cook.
Uh-huh.
Danny Green.
Yep.
What's his face? Troy Daniels.
Uh-huh.
Rajon Rondo.
Yep.
We got...
your favorite player.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Uh-huh.
There is... who else is there? Ooh, now I'm just like... Alex Caruso.
Uh-huh. You've got everyone on this list except the draft pick.
Oh, Talen Horton-Tucker?
Yep. And then there's one. And there's
one more, Avery Bradley.
Avery Bradley.
And we also have the guy from Gonzaga who is a draft pick of theirs.
John Stockton.
We got John Stockton. No,
John and David Stockton will split time.
Zach Norvell Jr. is their two-way player.
Oh,
so
what's going on? Did Tyson Chandler sign with somebody else?
Tyson Chandler has not signed with anyone yet.
So I think this is a good roster.
I think that, yeah.
I really like the Quinn Cook pickup.
I think Quinn Cook is not good.
I like it as a pickup.
what Quinn Cook does is he makes three-pointers.
Yeah.
And that's going to be enough. But he's a terrible defender, and he's not a good point guard. So
yeah.
I'm not in on Quinn Cook as being a good player.
Don't need a point guard because we've got our listed point guard now.
LeBron James.
LeBron James. I just like people that can shoot three-pointers will always be helpful, I believe. Especially in a LeBron-centered
offense. That is true. So people like Sfi Mikhailiuk. Right? Honestly,
if with this roster, if we could have kept Svi and Zubats, that would have been nice. I am not a Jared Dudley fan.
I know you're not a Jared Dudley fan.
You know,
fan.
Whatever.
I think Jared Dudley is a perfect fit for this specific team.
Yeah.
Kyle Korver could also be brought in at some point.
Hey, there you go. I will very much look forward. I hope they continue to do in LA the Green Room, Danny Green's YouTube channel, because it's a great channel.
Yes.
So I hope that he brings it here and that it's not. What I suspect is that it was actually a production of the Toronto CBC Media.
Yeah. Danny Green, have us on your podcast, coward.
Because I think they are. Yeah, he's been dodging us. I think that they were also responsible for the Serge Ibaka cooking in the thing.
Oh, which was a great.
Toronto had a great digital content
year.
Yes. In fact, it overshadowed their year on the court. It was better
you're not getting away with that.
They did better on YouTube than they did on the court.
No. Get out of here with that shit.
So, how are you feeling about the Avery Bradley pickup?
I think Avery Bradley is Avery Badley.
I think that if he had gone directly from his Celtics years to now, you'd been like, oh, good pickup.
Yes.
And then he went to Detroit. Right.
Yeah.
And got exposed a little bit.
Yeah. And then he went to the Clippers and was morally exposed. Then he was traded to the Grizzlies and he was exposed.
What was he morally exposed for?
Because he, not morally, like morally, just I oh, was oh, exposed oh. more.
I thought you just meant like, you know, he got into like a Ponzi scheme.
He did get into a thing.
Oh, he did?
He was, there was a, like an assault claim against him.
Oh, boy.
So lots of fun there. On the basketball court, you know, your favorite guy, HP Basketball, Matt Moore, posted a list of the real plus minus rankings of the two ostensible former Boston guards.
Uh-huh.
And they were both bottom 10 percentile.
Who was
real plus
one?
Minus?
Rondo.
Rondo and.
Boy, that guy really doesn't like the Lakers.
I don't know about
that.
Oh,
yes, yes, yes. It's like, I mean, when I was more active on like tracking him around, I documented several cases.
Yeah.
He's the one that published, he would publish real plus minus differences.
Of the Rondo. Of ball.
On off things for ball after like six games.
Yeah.
And it would be like Ingram without ball is like 181 points better per 100 possession. It's just like,
yes,
this is so hot take. You just want clicks.
Yes, but I think looking at like over the course of a season, that's not a hot take. That's just they didn't play well last season.
No. This was.
I know what he did for Lonzo, but these specific sets that he gave for Bradley and Rondo.
My issue with that is just generally the real plus minus thing is completely like.
That's an interesting take. Is that real plus minus is a bit of a like team noisy stat.
Well, the thing is that no one can tell you how it's calculated.
Don't they just
real plus minus?
Don't they just count up the points?
Yeah, but they really do it.
No, yeah, you count the points as they go through the bucket. How are you supposed to count
they
points?
They only count real points and then real minuses.
Got it, yeah.
No, just I don't think that... I almost have zero time for any stat where they don't publish what the equation is.
No, isn't it like a hockey thing? Like however much the hockey team in the same city of you as you scores while you're on the court?
It's a hockey thing in the sense that when you're done calculating the stat, you throw an octopus on the ice.
Nice. Detroit.
In fact, let me just quickly highlight something that I was discussing. And by the way, this is one of those things that, like, as I'm walking around with my phone, I'm like trying to look up basketball reference stats.
I'm always doing that.
So somebody on Reddit/NBA discussion, which is theoretically the...
Oh, this is where the elite, is where the thinkers of the NBA go to. Right.
He published a big table about like basically using box plus minus to say like that these teams are stronger than other teams and these are the strongest playoff teams every year. In 2019, he has the Milwaukee Bucks as the strongest team in the playoffs for 2019.
Okay, great. Yeah, so, and they won the championship.
And this is what I said to him. It's like, so because it's kind of interesting, there's times in this table where the champion is not the top rated playoff team, right? And so I can almost see that when it's like one conference was skewed from another such that like maybe for, like a weird one is like in 2010, the Lakers are the fourth strongest team on this table.
Ooh.
When they won.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe something weird happens with the stats and that's what happens. However, in a year like 2019, in my opinion, if you have an advanced stat analysis that ends with you making the conclusion that the Milwaukee Bucks are a better, stronger team than the Toronto Raptors when they met directly in a series,
yeah,
and lost to the Toronto Raptors. And also in 2010, he's got the Phoenix Suns above the Lakers.
Okay.
And he has the Orlando Magic above the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
So to me, I love advanced stats. I think they're very interesting. I think they reveal things sometimes. But I think you have to, in moments like this, go like, wait, something is wrong with my model if I have a two teams that met head-to-head and one of them lost, and I'm trying to say the one that lost is better.
No, you know what? I'm not here for that specifically.
Uh-huh.
And here's why. That's not to say that what happened wasn't that the Raptors won,
uh-huh,
but that they, as a lesser team, beat a better team, which is a thing that can happen, right? The better team does not always win. There's luck involved.
Uh-huh.
There's variance, right?
Uh-huh.
On a given night, right, on four given nights, the Raptors were a better team than the Bucks, and on two given nights, the Bucks were a better team than the Raptors, uh-huh, right? Overall, I think what that guy is trying to find a way to say is like, which team is actually better, right? Which is a dumb thing to even quantify in the first place. That's the problem.
Well, it's an undefinable.
It is undefinable.
Quality, right?
It is. And so he's trying to define it, and he has decided that this is the way to define
right,
it.
And I'm saying I have an alternate model of defining who is better.
Is it an easier one that you can just look at to see which team won?
It's, yeah, it's like have the two teams play each other, and whoever scores more points, using real plus minus, which
yes,
is just counting up points.
Just counting points. But whichever team Chris Paul is on, so is the better team.
I actually agree. I even said this in the subreddit. I was like, sure, playing seven games is also not necessarily the best way to find who's better. If they played eight games, it would be better. If they played to nine games,
yeah,
that would be better. If they played 100 games in a row, that would be a better model to find out who is a better team.
Yeah.
But I think all of these things are better than a statistical analysis that ends up with someone who lost a seven-game series somehow ending up being better. Also, it's because they're comparing stats against other teams in strength of schedules and stuff like
and
that.
They're comparing the previous round's performances,
yes,
as well,
yes, yes,
right? So there's, you know, a holistic view to this, which can have both results, right? The Raptors won and were the better team in their series, but overall in the playoffs, the better team overall was the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
Right?
But I don't even know if that's true.
I mean, that's what he's saying from his research.
But like I also just think that there's enough wonky results in this table.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, it's tough to say that the Suns were better than the Lakers in 2010.
But that is why you always have both viewpoints, right? You've got that analytical viewpoint where you try to have some way of looking at objective quality of a team. And then you have also like the results and looking at what happened. You know, there's an in-between and an in the middle where it's just like, all we need is for you two to just make out a little bit. And then, you know, that's the actual absolute answer.
Yeah, I don't think that exists either.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. No, nobody on Reddit has ever agreed about anything.
I will just say that I do think having two teams play each other. The thing I just said was like, if you want me to accept a world where we've created models that say that someone who lost to someone else is better, then I almost feel like, why are we even watching sports? Because in the end, around all this, in the center of all this is this very basic idea that you just have to beat the other person.
Yeah.
And then we might have this other analysis to find like, you know, to draw out nuances in how those things get achieved.
Yeah.
But like, there also have to be sometimes that you take a step back from a data model and just go like, okay, because this is a regressive model. This is like trying to fit this data to the actual results that have happened in the past.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you're like, this isn't fitting, sure, you can argue like, there are definitely cases where you'd be like, okay, maybe the Denver Nuggets are not better than the whoever they beat when Mutombo was on the ground holding that ball.
Yeah.
Because that was such a fluke. And that was, I think, a five-game series or something, smaller sample size.
Yeah. 1 versus 8, the first round back when it was 5 games.
And someone else brought up Mavericks Warriors. Was that a 1-8?
That was a 1-8 as well.
And the Warriors won that.
Yes, they did. The We Believe Warriors.
Yeah. I don't know.
Right. It's hard. But I don't think the goal of that sort of advanced analysis, or just even analysis in general, is to say, like, I don't believe that what happened is what happened, but it's just to say, like, I think that they underperformed based upon their relative skill level.
Well, and I would say that even a regular season isn't the biggest sample size.
No, I mean,
playoff run is a very small sample size. So to say that a team underperformed might just be that, like, how many teams did the Bucks face before they faced the Raptors?
Two.
So, like, you are basing their performance on them playing an 8 seed.
Yeah.
And then whatever it was, a 4 or 5 or something like that.
Yeah, then they played the 4 seed.
So that is, like, in a way you're baking in a lot of regular season performance because they got the 1 seed. So there's just a lot of, anyway, this is, I'm boring myself talking about this. I think it's stupid when two teams play each other, whoever wins is better. And also that in professional sports, there isn't any league that goes more than 7 games. Like,
yeah,
like this is as good as it's going to get. We're not ever going to go to a 9-game series.
Okay. But I don't know. What about a team that beats another team 4 times in the regular season, plays them in the playoffs and loses? Right, chances are, you know, if they lose in the playoffs 4-2, but in the regular season they were 4-0.
Yeah.
Over the course of the season, they won 6 times, and the other team won 4 times.
Yeah.
Right. So, which team is better?
The team that won in the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah.
At that point in time, but what about in the past?
Well, only because, and the only reason I say that is that there's different priorities in the playoffs, and there's different abilities to, like, game plan for a team.
Yeah.
That there's no way the players take regular season games as seriously as the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true.
I would say that if you win when it quote unquote counts, which is also hilarious because none of this really matters.
Yeah.
All of this is, like, arbitrary. You know, I made an argument a couple years ago that, like, sports actually fits under the umbrella of art.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything we care about in sports is just something that all of the audience has agreed upon.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that a ball bounces on one side of a painted line versus another, that it means something to us, that one is in, quote, inbounds and one is out of bounds. Like, it's a completely artificial construct that we're all just in the stadium being like, yeah, that's what counts.
Yeah.
To me, it feels like we're all sort of participating in a form of theater.
Ooh.
You know?
I mean, this, like, existential sports dread that I'm kind of feeling right now, like, I'm into it. I'm into it. I like this.
You know what? This might be the year that I end up rooting for LeBron James, so everything in terms of existential dread is on the table.
You're just out here just sweating bullets, like, with anxiety, looking at your basketball life going, what is happening?
No, I mean, I know and this is why I'm tempered about my expectations about the Lakers, is I know what's going to happen. I think that they're going to make a pretty good run, and then he's going to do shit to piss me off, and they're going to lose.
All right.
Because
mark it down here, folks.
Because it's been, like, 6 years of him doing plays in the playoffs where you're like, oh, you're not going to run back there. Like, it's not a recent thing. When people talk about, like, LeBron isn't the defensive player that he was, that's been going on for a while.
I mean, I'm going to say 2 years, right? When it counts, right? Because the year that they lost in 2015, he was a monster in the playoffs.
I believe even in that there's defensive issues.
There is? Yeah, okay, there's defensive issues, but he almost won MVP while losing.
He wasn't going to win that MVP.
He could have. I mean, didn't you see there was a controversy that...
He didn't?
There was some dumb controversy that then people were like, actually, we don't know anything about it. There's no controversy.
How are you feeling about other teams?
I'm feeling pretty good about other teams. I mean, I think that just, you know, the thing that I have been feeling is just how weird the league feels.
Uh-huh.
What a weird team Philly's got. Just defense for days and offense that, you know, Joel Embiid is really good at offense.
I am not convinced that they are better.
I don't know if they're better, but I think they're just as good.
Uh-huh.
And being just as good is very good. They may have been the second best team in the entire league last year.
By the way, I'm much happier to be a Lakers fan than a Celtics fan.
Oh my God.
Celtics fans who have been so high on the horse for the last couple years. First of all, about a team that didn't do shit in the playoffs ever, and about a team that they were like,
well, let's be fair.
Yeah.
The Celtics did win almost 9 straight championships back in 1492.
Right.
Okay.
Columbus was
the original Celtic.
Columbus and Red Holzman.
Yes.
Red Auerbach. Red Holzman is a Nick coach.
Red
Red Fox.
Yes, Red Fox.
No, for Celtics fans who were so like smug about how many draft picks they had swindled from the Nets to be in the position they're in now.
Well, see, this is why I think Reddit NBA is bad, because you get this terrible intersection of Celtics fans that are just like the worst people.
Well,
in the world
I also get this
Reddit
from Bill Simmons.
That's true. That's fair.
You know,
I mean, like I said, the worst people in the world.
That's true. Bill Simmons, like truly some of the worst people in the world. Bill Simmons and Michael Rappaport.
oh Lord, Michael Rappaport. Do not. And it. Wait, isn't Rappaport a Knicks fan?
No, I'm just saying that these are some of the worst voices in the world to be talking with any authority about anything.
Just such voices.
Tangential to the Barstool world, I think.
Yo.
Like, Bill Simmons, here's a hot take. Bill Simmons should just go be on Barstool.
I think Bill Simmons in 15 years ago would have been absolutely into Barstool. I think now he knows better.
Yes, I agree with that. I do think that Bill Simmons, I enjoyed when, basically, I enjoyed Bill Simmons when he was us. He was someone that was a fan that knew that he was kind of bullshitting, but like he brought you this perspective of like, I'm a very opinionated fan and I have these fun, he was a fun writer and I'm creating these sort of like fun categories and you know, these like, I forget what it was, the like too much confidence guy and all that stuff. Right. I liked him when he was that. And now he is such a, he has been elevated to beyond his pay grade, basically.
But I mean, he doesn't even write anymore, right?
No, he just talks on the podcast.
He talks on the podcast and he tweets, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. And you know, we can just choose to ignore the old man.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's kind of what I do. I don't listen to his podcast.
No, I don't. But I did listen to the Anthony Davis episode of his podcast where him and I think Ryan Russillo, but it was just like, oh my God, what a horrible trade this is for the Lakers, blah, blah, blah.
But that, like, that trade was exactly the trade that he would have loved if the
Celtics had made.
100%. Yeah. Right. And that's, you know, I feel like that's kind of how I am too. I'm not objective in any way. You know, it's not like I'm going to get out here and be like, whoa, like I want to be. Lord, do I want to be objective, right? I want to not be like the idiot Lakers fan, but it's in my heart. It's in my blood.
Well, this is what like, you just have to know it and own up to it.
Yeah.
So like, you know, Henry Abbott would never own up to the fact that he was a Blazers homer. So Simmons never owns up to, he owns up to being a Celtics fan, but he doesn't own up to his vision being skewed by that.
Yeah.
He still thinks that he can speak with authority about things. And I think like, I really want the big takeaway from this entire offseason to be like, don't listen to any of these dudes. None of them know shit.
Yeah. Don't listen to anything other than just for fun. If you like hearing them talk.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like,
and actually, I would say I would say that I believe that Stuart A. Smith, is that his name?
Nope.
Stephen A. Smith.
There you go.
Stuart is
the
guy who died. Yes.
He passed away.
Stephen A. Smith.
Peace, yeah.
No, Stephen A. Smith is the most in control of what he is.
Yeah. I mean,
he knows that he is an entertainer.
Yeah.
Doing hot takes and like, so for, and by the way, I also put Lonzo, what's his name? The dad.
LeVar.
I put LeVar in the same category.
Interesting.
They know what they're doing. They're just having fun. They're just saying stupid shit for fun.
Yeah.
I would even say Shannon Sharp knows what he's doing with that.
There you go.
I think Rick, God damn it, Skip Bayless.
Skip Bayless.
This is my jet lag.
Rick Bayless. I think that his restaurants are good.
Yes.
Right? Like, I don't have any problems with Rick Bayless.
I was shocked to discover that they are brothers.
Yeah, yeah. Because not the first time we've talked about
it on this podcast. Because I will just say again, they do speak similarly. They have a weird way of speaking. Anyway, Skip Bayless, I think he does. He knows what is making him money.
Yeah.
But he will not own up to it on camera.
No.
I mean, which I think is what frustrates a lot of people.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Stephen A. Smith, you can tell every once in a while that, like, all right, you know, like, this is being ridiculous.
Yes.
But you're playing a character now.
Yeah. I mean, do you ever watch the, like, the clips from High Noon with Bomani and Pablo?
Yes.
What do you think about that show? Like that feels like hot takes, but also like talking about it in a way that feels.
I don't see it as much. I like Bomani Jones.
Yeah, I like him too.
Who is Pablo?
Pablo's another journalist at ESPN, and you know, he's.
I will say that he's on a guy. The Jump, I was watching and I was like, "Who is that dude? That guy is very handsome." It was Nick Friedel.
Nick Friedel, yes, yeah, he's a. I think he's an LA Sports Insider guy.
I was like, "Who is this guy? That's a sexier Dan Le Batard."
It's Poppy. Poppy is a sexier Dan Le Batard.
Yeah.
see, I'm very intrigued.
Dan Le Batard, who's the other guy on his show?
They don't have another guy. They have a rotating cast now.
Okay. Like that show, I also, there are certain shows where I'm like, they just know how silly they're being.
Yeah, show is silly and it makes it so good.
Yeah.
I love that show. I love listening to Poppy do his takes. It's so funny.
Two teams that I would consider sort of like the run it back teams.
Ooh.
Houston. Houston has not had any roster changes at all.
No. I mean, the only thing that's different about their roster is that everyone's a year older.
And
everyone's mad that they were up for trade for Jimmy Butler.
Well, also what's interesting is that there were, at the beginning of this offseason, it almost seemed like they're going to blow it up.
Yeah.
Because Capella was on the block.
Capella was on the block. Gordon was on the block.
Yeah.
Maury was on the hot stove. Tillman Fertitta had too many golden nuggets. And
Chris Paul and James Harden hated each other.
Yeah. And yet the Rockets might be the best team in the West next year.
I think they are going to win the conference next year.
Wow. And is it the continuity thing? Is it because they're a run it back team?
It's not. It's yes, to a degree. It's because I think that they, like, I mean, the Warriors aren't going to be there next year, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think I made this point while you were gone. It was that they've been the second best team in the West for 5 years.
Yeah.
Right?
They were the second best team this year, too. They just happened to meet them in an earlier round.
That's 100% correct. And now that team that was in their way has dissipated into the wind.
Right. So now it's like you have to say who's a better team than the Rockets.
I don't know. Maybe D'Angelo Russell is as good as Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Okay. So that's not going to be an issue. I don't think even with this is where the continuity does matter. Like, as long as they can not destroy each other with hatred by the end of the season, they had a model that was pretty successful.
Yeah.
A model that's good enough to run up against variance another year.
Yeah.
And the teams that you think would be better than them are teams like the Lakers and the Clippers,
yeah,
who are completely brand new alchemies of personalities.
Yeah.
That I think it takes longer than that to become a truly championship team.
Yeah. I mean, we learned it last season. It takes a really long time to integrate somebody new, which is why the Toronto Raptors didn't win the NBA championship.
Well, I mean, it helps when the other team loses.
That's true.
To of their starters,
yeah,
before you start playing.
That's fair.
It's helpful when the other team loses the probably best player in the league,
yeah,
off of their team.
Yeah.
I also think there's not a lot of wisdom to be gained from the Toronto Raptors run this year.
No?
Except just, which is true for every championship team, be lucky.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that they kind of had the same playbook as the old Detroit Pistons back in 2004?
What was that?
When it was just like, we did this 1 year, and we're done, and nothing's ever going to happen again.
Oh, I mean, it would be a shame, because, like, I was decently, like, I was like, cool, good for them.
Yeah.
It was funny. It was a team that I was like, even my dislike for Drake didn't really end up being that big a deal.
No. Like, yeah. In fact, in the end, it didn't matter, because Drake won his chip with his dip, my friend.
So who else would be better than the Rockets this year?
The only team that I can even think of, and I don't know if I believe it or not yet, is Utah.
If everything comes together.
Right? Because they're another team that's integrating a couple of new pieces. Yeah. But other than that, they've got the same idea behind this team. It's just that the people who were plugged into the two spots that they upgraded are going to be a little bit better for what they're trying to do.
So Mike Conley will be better.
Huge upgrade on Ricky Rubio.
Rubio.
Just absolutely huge upgrade. And I think Bogdanovich is an upgrade on Favors for what they're trying to do, which is shoot more three-pointers.
Man, that will be one of the stealth, chippiest teams in the league with Bogdanovich and Ingles on the same team.
And Donovan Mitchell isn't here to take any of your gruff. Uh-huh. And Rudy Gobert, he's French.
Trailblazers?
I mean, I have nothing but hatred for the Hassan Whiteside pickup.
And this
got cut from the podcast I recorded with Dan because they had just traded for Hassan Whiteside and Dan didn't know who he was. So I was like, I'm just gonna leave this for later. Hassan Whiteside sucks so bad.
Yeah.
He sucks so fucking bad. That's not a plus addition for them. That's a minus addition for them. And I don't think they're going to make the conference finals next year. I don't think they're going to be a top four team in the
West. I don't think they had a good offseason.
I think they did what they had to do. I liked their pickup of Nasir Little in the draft at 25, just on raw talent alone.
Yeah.
We'll see if he pans out or not. But
I guess I just feel that, like,
I don't care about Al-Farouq Aminu. I just don't care that he left.
I think they were in a good, and I believe I said this, that they should break it up. Like, I feel like that they were in a good position to be like, I can look two or three down the year's line and be like, this is not going to fly.
Well, so they can't break it up for one reason, and that's because they gave Damian Lillard a $50 million a year extension.
Yeah.
The only breakup they can do is after this season, get rid of CJ McCollum. Because the rest of the team
trade him or something?
Yeah, I don't think he's on an expiring this year. He might be. I may have to eat my words. But that being said, Whiteside's a 1 year deal. This is the last year of his deal. The only person on the books that they have is going to be Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
But also at $50 million a year, he takes up half of your cap space.
Yeah.
So, you know, how are you going to fit new exciting players into that? I don't know. I don't think the future is bright in Portland.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's dim either, which is kind of worse than it being, yeah, you know, it's kind of worse for it to just be in the middle.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that Denver will be better than the Rockets.
I think Denver is going to be sneaky good again.
Yeah.
I mean, they were the 2 seed. Ostensibly, they are another team that's got continuity coming back.
Yeah.
New players coming in. I think Jeremy Grant's a sneaky good pickup.
Depends. Also depends on if Michael Porter Jr.
Turns
into something or not.
What Bol Bol's deal is. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen to them and that have it be like,
Jeremy
this
Grant
is really good.
Has a brother, right, that plays also?
Did he
play for the Lakers?
I think so, and I don't think he played for the Lakers.
And also is the son of one of the Chicago, is either Harvey or Horace?
We're getting one of these mixed up. We've also done this before.
I know. It's Jeremy Grant's fault for not being more memorable.
I completely agree with you.
Let's see. Jeremy Grant. I'll go to his Wikipedia personal life. He's the son of Harvey Grant.
Got it.
And his brothers are, he had a brother named Jerrion.
Jerrion Grant, who played for the Knicks.
And Jerai Grant also has a Wikipedia page. Because he played at Clemson.
Wow. And
he plays for Sig Strasbourg of the LNB Pro A League.
Yeah.
Jerrion Grant. Maybe, you know, I think what Jeremy Grant, I think, has stuck in my head over the years because I believe at one point he was the NBA draft, like, prospective pick for the Lakers 1 year.
Got it.
It might have been the year that they took Randall, maybe, or something like that.
Yeah.
What about, do you think the Spurs will be better than the Rockets?
No, I don't think the Spurs are going to be better than the Rockets. I think this is the year the Spurs missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that is to say, I don't believe in DeJounte Murray and I don't believe in Bryn Forbes and I don't believe in the rest of the flotsam they have on the team. Get the Spurs all the way the fuck out of here. They need
all the way to Utah.
Exactly. They're a prime candidate to drop out of the playoffs.
Okay, today's July 9th, 2018. I think the Houston Rockets are going to win the West next year.
Wow. I put it in my if this, then that.
There you go. Exclamation point, remind me, 12 months. How do you think the Indiana Pacers did this offseason?
I think they had a sneaky good offseason.
Like they did come, I mean, especially considering their abilities to move mountains.
Yeah.
Which is very little.
So they lost Darren Collison
to retirement or to
Jehovah's
God?
Witnesses.
Yes.
Which, like, I've definitely lost some time to Jehovah's Witnesses before.
Mm-hmm.
That being said,
did you retire your career because of it?
I mean, the jury's out on that. We'll see what happens. But I don't think that they are. I think that they're significantly better than they were last year because they're getting Oladipo back. I think Brogdon is a perfect fit next to Oladipo.
Yeah, Brogdon's a great pickup.
I think that Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis are just going to get better and better. You know, they lost Bogdanovich, but I think that Brogdon does what Bogdanovich did, just a better efficiency and with less, you know, needing to pound the rock.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
Why did the Milwaukee Bucks lose Malcolm Brogdon?
The luxury tax.
Is it because they didn't want to pay more?
Yes.
Okay. It wasn't that they couldn't pay more.
Who's to say who can do what?
But like, I mean, rules-wise.
No, yes, they could have kept him.
That seems to me a bit of a shame.
I agree. I think that there was... It is a bummer that the way that team is set up, that Chris Middleton demanded, or I guess he got a max contract, basically.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Maybe I think it might have been $10 million less than a max contract.
Yeah.
And Brogdon, you know, he got like $16 million a year, something like that. Maybe $18 million. I think it might have been $18 million. So Brogdon is slotted in there at $18 million a year, and the fact that he was a second-round pick is why he is gone now.
Mm-hmm.
If he had been a first-round pick, he'd still be there on a rookie deal, but second-year players can only get those two- or three-year deals. So it's a bit of a bummer, I think, that they couldn't keep this team together because the luxury tax is punitive, it might be the wrong word, but it was going to punish them in a way that they were uncomfortable doing for a team that has not won yet, which
I know, but
it's,
like,
yeah, it's a bummer because Brogdon, if there's a year, I like Brogdon so much.
If there's a year that you're like, this is what keeps them from being a running back team, you know?
Yes.
Like, I'm just saying, I know they're disappointed with they wanted to be in the finals and all that, but like, they were also just up there in the heights, right? So like, don't mess with it. Come back another year and just try.
Yeah.
Especially when
you can't just do it for 1 year. Right?
Right.
You would have to commit to doing it for 4 years.
By the way, I wonder how many second rounders have gotten max contracts. Like,
that's a great question.
Great for Chris Middleton.
Congrats
to him.
Chris Middleton, however.
Did I say Middleditch?
No, you said Middleton. Was he a second round draft?
Yes, I just looked it up. Second round. Chris Middleton.
Christopher Middleton. That's not his name. His name is James Christian Middleton.
Oh. Chris Middleditch.
Yeah, 39th overall.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Also by the Pistons.
Yes, and he played there for a year before he was in Milwaukee.
We should wrap this episode up.
Love it.
We still have a lot to talk about. We got more Summer League coming up.
Yes.
Which you're not going to be at.
I'm not going to be at. And
it won't be the same.
Don't worry. In next episode, you're going to hear about the Quake and how it affected Summer League.
And then we'll hear about how it affected my being on stage at Baby Wants Candy.
Oh, shit. Really?
Well,
that's so funny.
Casey, do you have any comedy shows this week?
Yes, I certainly do. And I certainly don't. Sorry.
Magic to do for me on Thursday. I haven't been in Magic to do since May of 2019.
Wow.
So Magic to do Thursday at UCB at 7 o'clock, and I'll be in Baby Wants Candy Friday at 7:30.
Congrats. Yeah. My tallest friend who's never blocked me.
Yes.
Is getting married this weekend.
Hey.
So I'm heading to Utah to bless the nuptials with a block. I'm going to run in the last second and say, I object to this marriage, and hit the ring out of his
hand.
And
then shake your finger.
Shake my finger at him. No, 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 no. And then, everyone's going to laugh, and they're going to carry me out of the wedding.
And then you're going to be like, no, I'm serious.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They're going to carry you out in a chair because you have to take a shit.
Yeah, because I have to take a shit, and they're going to put me on the electric chair and murder me.
Yeah. Fitting.
Fitting.
For the state of Utah.
Very fitting.
So we'll see you next time.
Later.